The Week Ahead, our weekly investment roundup with the Share Centre research team.
It's that point in the afternoon where we look back on the corporate week and look ahead to what we expect in the next 7 days on the business calendar. I'm glad to say I'm joined by the Share Centre's investment research analyst, Ian Forrester. Ian, we're going to look at three businesses that have reported this week. I think we're going to start with Compass. Now, I know little about Compass. You probably should explain what they are, but mainly because in my part of London, which is very near Wimbledon Tennis, they are the major employer of teenagers. Because they do the catering, of course, at the Championship. So all my kids have worked for Compass at some stage or another.
Well, yes, it's the world's largest contract catering group. It's a vast global group across 50 countries, spread across a whole range of sectors, schools, colleges, hospitals, leisure, all sorts of areas. So it's a vast company, and we heard this week a first quarter trading update from them yesterday, which was pretty reassuring. They said revenues were up 2.8%, and their North American business, which is about 50-55% of their overall sales, is still performing very well. Europe was flat. The rest of the world is still struggling a little bit, but the weak pound is definitely helping them. They said that the positive translation impact is about $74 million for the first quarter, and if it carries on at this level, it should benefit them to the tune of about $180 million for the full year, so certainly helping them. It must be said the shares have gone sideways, really, since they got some benefits after the EU referendum last year. But they did get a bit of a mild boost from this update yesterday. I think, to some extent, it's quite an attractive company for investors at the moment with all the uncertainty around because of the defensive nature of catering and the fact that this particular Compass is spread across so many countries and so many different sectors. And there is also this trend to outsourcing catering, which is helping them as well.
So not a particularly cyclical business then?
No, I wouldn't say so. No, I think it's seen as fairly defensive. People have to eat. And as I say, because it's spread across so many different sectors, many of them healthcare and defence sectors, which really don't change that much with the ups and downs of the economy. So it certainly appeals to investors looking for fairly solid, reliable, steady earnings.
Good, and appeals to fathers who then don't have to pay their children quite as much pocket money as well.
Indeed.
So, yes. Okay, well, let's move along to Vodafone, who had a sort of quarter three trading report this week. And I think a lot of the attention was on what's going on in India.
Indeed, yes, there were really two large bits of news from Vodafone this week. Third quarter results yesterday showed that revenues were up 1.7%. They were reduced a bit by the UK and India, but they did say, and they also said full year earnings, they're expecting to be at the lower end of the range that they gave us previously. But it must be said, cash flow remains pretty strong, and that's obviously key for paying their healthy dividends. The earlier bit of news we got in the week was, as you mentioned, relating to India, which has become a bit of a problem market for Vodafone. And they said that they're in talks to merge their Indian business with a company called Idea, which is one of the largest mobile operators out there. This is really driven by the emergence of Jio, which is a new mobile operator set up by Reliance Industries, one of the largest conglomerates in India. And this has been providing free calls and data for the last 6 months, which, as you can imagine, has caused a yes. degree of panic amongst the other operators
out there. How long can they keep on doing this, do we know?
I wouldn't have thought very long, because clearly they've had to spend billions to invest in this business to get it set up. They've managed to get about 70 million subscribers, which is fairly impressive in a short period of time. But I think the sheer amount of money they're having to put into it, I think most people think that they're going to have to start charging for it. But clearly, it has caused real concern for the other operators. And it's interesting that if this merger goes ahead with Idea and Vodafone, that would be a business with about 375 million subscribers. So clearly, that would be in a very strong competitive situation, and it would also possibly provide Vodafone with a way of exiting the Indian market if it wanted to do that. So there are a number of benefits there, so that was seen as good news. But apart from that, I think Europe was also a bit of positive news for Vodafone this week, because they've seen some better trading in Italy, Germany and Spain, which was good to see. So UK remains still very, very competitive, and their service revenues were down there. So that's a bit of a problem.
Because they had had some plans for sort of pay TV in the UK, haven't they? Which about, I think they've now sort of sidelined.
Well, again, yes, and I think again the competition is the real problem there. You've got, you know, Sky and BT and others, so it's a difficult market to get into, and I think their focus at the moment is very much on India and trying to sort that out. So yes, other areas are less of a pressing matter, but I think the UK, we have been hoping for an acquisition in the UK. And that's been going on for some time, and there's no sign of that. But I think, as I say, I think their attention is elsewhere at the moment.
Okay, let's move on to full year results from Royal Dutch Shell. Obviously, trying to digest the takeover of BG Group, but we read earlier this week it's now the world's biggest dividend payer, paid out £11.1 billion to shareholders in 2016. So that's the biggest payout in the world.
Yes, and it was interesting. We saw fourth quarter results yesterday from them, which came in below expectations. Earnings, excluding exceptional items, earnings were up 14% to $1.8 billion in the quarter. But it must be said the market was expecting around $2.8 billion, so it was well under that. The exploration and production division saw a profit of about $54 million, which doesn't sound a great deal, but when you compare that to the $1 billion loss it made last year, that's quite an improvement. There was some reassuring news from them, though. Cash flow has improved. Debt has come down. And they also have made good progress with their asset disposal program, which is about halfway to its target of $30 billion. Over the last month, we've seen some good deals on North Sea and Thailand assets. So that's reassuring, and of course all of that helps to generate funds to pay, as you say, the all-important dividend.
Well, I can say, because it's only a few months ago that people begin to question whether the dividend was safe enough.
Indeed, and fortunately we've seen a rise in the oil price, which has really helped them with this OPEC freeze that was announced on production. That's had an impact. I think obviously we'll have to see what happens going forward, because there is the possibility of more production coming on stream, particularly in the US, over the next few years. So whether or not the oil price is going to head back to where it was a couple of years ago, I rather doubt. But at least as long as it's, I think, above $50, I think that provides some reassurance. I think ideally they'd like to see it more like $60 a barrel. To really underpin dividends. But as I say, they're taking a lot of other action, the things they can affect. They're doing a lot of those things to try and improve cash flows and generate funds to fund the dividend, which is, as you say, at a very good level at the moment. Interesting as well to hear this week that they're planning to increase spending on renewable energy projects, despite the fact that the new US administration seems to be more keen on the more sort of traditional fossil fuels, but they're going ahead with that anyway. I think you mentioned BG. I think the integration benefits there of that takeover, I think, are going to come through. I know the costs have been fairly high, but I think most people expect that in the long run those assets will prove beneficial to the combined group.
Okay, thank you. So there's three companies that reported this week. Let's have a very quick look ahead at next week. Amongst others, we get figures from Glaxo, a British company headquartered in Brentford. I think you can see there's headquarters, can't you, from the flyover as you head out of London towards Heathrow on the A4.
From Glaxo, that's right. And we're due to get fourth quarter results from them next week, as you mentioned. And it's interesting, the trend in recent years has been one of falling revenues because of generic competition. But this year, where I think we're likely to see an improvement in sales, to some extent as a result of the weakness of the pound, it must be said. But the company has been investing quite heavily in its R&D, And this has managed to create quite an attractive pipeline of new drugs. And new drugs have been selling very well, as I say, to help mitigate these decline of the patent drugs. Mm. I think investors will also be looking out for progress on their cost-cutting program, which is a big thing for them. Also, any news, progress on some R&D projects, and there have been worries over from the management over the new U.S. administration's comments about controlling drug prices. So any comments about that will be interesting.
Mm. Okay, and quickly perhaps Smurfit Kappa as well.
Yes, this is the Irish packaging group. We're due to get fourth quarter figures from them as well. Interesting, this is a company that came into the FTSE in December, and the shares have performed pretty well since then. They've beaten the index by about 13%. It produces a whole range of cardboard and packaging products, been helped quite a lot by the increase in online shopping. A lot of its products are used for that. And first 9 months of the year, they said revenues were up, and lower revenues in Europe, but doing well in the Americas to some extent, again, because of the weak pound. Mm. But again, very interesting to hear if they've seen some benefit from the increase in online shopping that we've seen. Again, you know, Black Friday was very strong, and the run-up to Christmas. So very interesting to hear their comments on that.
Well, let's just round off quite rapidly, I think, with Tate and Lyle, and one of the very few companies before the referendum vote to sort of come out and urge its workers to back Brexit.
Yes, it was very interesting that, and we're due to hear some third quarter figures from them on Thursday. The share price took a bit of a hit in November after the US elections because of their exposure to Mexico, and clearly, you know, the shares have gone sideways since then. I think investors will be interested to hear the management's comments on that particular situation with Mexico, but also on the broader strategic goals. They're trying to transform themselves more into a specialty ingredients company. Yes, very interesting to see how they're getting on with that.
Ian, thank you very much indeed. I've been talking to Ian Forrest, Share Centre's investment research analyst. Thank you.
The Week Ahead, our weekly investment roundup with the Share Centre research team.